They were using the temple as a place to make money. They were running businesses out of the temple. And is it any different than these churches these days when they run businesses out of their churches? Right? Oh, we've got a wonderful church here. We've got a coffee shop. We've got a bookstore. We've got a great band. Bring your money. Serve us. Bring forth the money. You know, they've turned the ministry of God into a money changer's affair. Bring in the money, and we'll do the service. And the service has become so... What do they serve you in? Chatter? Meaningless talk? Potluck Sundays? What is it you get out of church? I sit there and it's my duty. The ones that are great are supposed to be serving you. They're supposed to be feeding you. They're supposed to be building you up into a house built of God, into the full measure of the stature of Christ. But are you being built up in that? No. They're being built up in your donations. They're being built up in collecting money. But you're being built up in nothing. Nothing. It's just a place of ritual, of meaningless rituals, of sacrifices, and of offerings, and of talking, and words without meaning, and preaching without spirit, and of hearts that are hardened. Step right up, bring in your money, bring in your sacrifices. It's a circus. He cast them out. You know, he's recording, there's a composite quote, I suppose, here from Jeremiah 7, verse 11, which says, "Is not this house which is called by my name become a den of thieves in your eyes, a den of robbers? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord." I love what he says in verse 10 in Jeremiah 7. And come, you know, well, let's say, verse 8. "Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by name become a den of robbers?" You know, you come to the church of Christ, and you're expecting to be built up in the things of Christ, or that's what you ought to be expecting, but instead, you're built up in the things of idolatry. Instead, you're built up in the things which do not profit, in things that have no profit, in things that are giving you what? Nothing. We need to be built up in the things which God has given for our profit, not for the profiting of others. You know, it reminds me of the last chapter when he says, you know, "He that will be great among you must be your servant." The minister is supposed to be the servant of the people. Right? But I don't like too much distinction. We are all to serve one another in the church. I'm just saying, churches today are like temples. They are not really what Christ ordained as a called out body of people himself. The church to me is all my Christian brethren. We are one. It is not an event I go to on Sundays. I'm going to church. No, I don't. I don't go to church. I am the church. Or at least I'm a piece of it. I can't say I'm it by myself, that's for sure. But I'm not alone either. Let no man think me so. So he comes in, casts out the money changers, does these miracles of healings and so on and so forth, and they're displeased. They don't like it. They're fearful. I tell you, they're fearful and unbelieving. The fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sorcerers shall all part of their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Let us rather be believing. Let us rather be not afraid of what man can do, and but trusting rather what God will do and having faith in him. And then he quotes from Psalm 8, "Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise." To perfect means to build up to completeness. No, to complete. Children that are raised in love, not that are corrupted by the wicked deeds of others, or that are, you know, somehow bruised, but I mean a child in its essence, will praise that which is good. When they see something good, something they like, oh, they're so excited, and out of it comes such a natural joy, comes forth and bubbling forth. And that's the way they were with Christ. They see this one coming, performing these miracles, and out of the joyousness of the occasion, they just come forth, Hosanna! Hosanna! You know, they are so excited and so naturally moved. Moved by nature. Just as a child is moved. another way in which you must be a child to come into heaven. That when you see something good, you're like, this is awesome. This is wonderful. Just like when you get carried away with emotion, when you get carried away with something that is exciting to you, to be praised, to praise it. This is great. This is wonderful. Oh, but what are adults like? We have, you know, you become corrupt. There's flatteries. Oh, you do so well. And backhanded compliments. You know, well, I've seen worse. These come forth from the wicked heart, you know, of man. I mean, take it in the spirit, not in the letter. You know, but what I mean is that it's not a perfection of praise to use backhanded compliments and to use, you know, the flatteries. But to praise things honestly. You know, children, do you like it? They generally, in their innocence, they will say whether they like it or not. And they will reflect, their joy will be reflected in their praise. Almost in an analog, meaning it's going to be exact. As much joy as they take in it, that's how much praise they're going to give. I mean, laying aside all notions of shyness, let's not, you know, don't get too wrapped up in like, well, I could think of cases in which that wouldn't be so. I know. I'm really rebuking myself because I'm that kind of a thinker. I think of all the possibilities. That's why I say, you know, a child that has not been corrupted and so on by the things that in the world ruin that for us, you know? Things that make us shy, things that make us afraid to speak, afraid to praise that which is good, afraid to speak our minds, which we ought to do. I did mention that verse 13 was quoted from Jeremiah 7:11, but also from Isaiah 56, verse 7. And I'm not going to go there, but it's also part of, you know, my house should be called a house of prayer. It's a composite quote. Moving on. Verse 17, and he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said to it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Presently means immediately. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say to you, if ye had faith, and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive.